This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I mentioned to Seth that I was told that by Jesse Watt on 96.5 this morning. She told me as I poked my head in the studio there, she said, "Hey, you were in the Chronicle yesterday." And I said, "Really? What did I do?" And she said,
"Feature story."
Yeah, yeah. She said, "You were in there. It was a story about how Sports Radio 610 hosts were being insensitive towards CJ Stroud's sensitivity, his own sensitivity towards Brevin Jordan."
Yeah,
and I said,
yeah.
Okay, well, I sure hope that I'm not getting pulled into the crowd that's, you know, that the Twitter mob is after right now. Because that mm-hmm. we know that they're after, and I say Twitter mob, there's more than the Twitter. Clinton Ron were, you know, they hearing the news of CJ being emotional over the Brevin Jordan injury and being, to quote DJ Bieniemy, consoled by Dalton Schultz, they went and, you know, they went and ran with that. As you know, as they should. It's a topic. They feel a certain kind of way about it. But it got a lot of attention, for sure.
Yeah.
And so the headline in the Chronicle, Michael Shapiro wrote this article, and it said, "Houston radio hosts offer absurd CJ criticism, CJ Stroud criticism."
That primes the pump right there.
"After teammate injury." Yeah, this is an opinion piece by Michael Shapiro.
Yeah, that's
this is absurd.
If there's one thing I've learned about headlines and thumbnails,
yeah.
Man, it almost doesn't matter what comes after.
Yeah.
The pump is primed emotionally to to feel a certain way.
Yeah. So Michael talks about how reporters on the scene at Houston training camp detailed the difficult scene with Brevin Jordan's injury as players across the roster stood and kneeled in stunned silence. D'Amico Ryans gathered the team after Jordan exited the field, and for a brief period, a number of players, including Stroud, regrouped before returning to play. ESPN's DJ Bieniemy reported Stroud was, quote, consoled by tight end Dalton Schultz, while Sports Radio 610's Sean Pendergast noted.
Oh, so you're the first name in there too.
Okay. For the station. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not thinking a thing about how this is. I am thinking completely from the reader's experience, Sean, because I know how it works. Yeah. You see the headline, yeah. And then the first name you see, yeah. And then boom, you don't even read the rest. You're off on the interwebs. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like it was almost like Clinton Ron were standing in front of a bus and just decided to yank me with them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So Sports Radio 610's Sean Pendergast noted Stroud was, quote, visibly emotional, though mm-hmm. tears were not reportedly shed. And I stand by that. That is an accurate report. I don't think CJ was crying, not certainly to the extent that he was after Tank Dell's injury, but he was definitely visibly emotional. He walked off by himself. We don't need to revisit that. We know what my report was on what I saw with my eyes. Michael Shapiro continues, "To most, Stroud's emotions over an injured teammate are perfectly reasonable. One pair of Houston radio hosts didn't take such an understanding tact. Quote, I don't want the kid to change who he is, but damn it, man. Stroud is not the one that should be getting consoled," Ron Hughley, co-host of The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, said on Monday's program. Quote, "At that position, they have to believe in and run behind you. I'll be damned. Joe Mixon had to console you on the field in Kansas City, and now at the practice, you got to be consoled by Dalton Schultz, end quote. So that was Ron. Continuing, Sterner, a two-time All-SEC quarterback with the – oh, wow, I didn't know Clint was two-time All-SEC. Good job, Clint. I knew he was good. With the Razorbacks and a backup QB with the Cowboys, offered a more scathing sentiment.
Oh, damn, scathe.
Wow. More
scathe, Clint.
More scathing, more scathing than damn it, man. quote, you're so shook you're needing to be consoled. To me, that's a tough pill to swallow, Sterner said. Quote, you'll never convince me, Ron, that this locker room doesn't almost laugh at that part of CJ Stroud. End quote.
Oh.
Now, Clint.
That might be the most damning one right there of the, is, because then you're kind of. Then you're speculating on the emotions of others.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, Clint and Ron are having a conversation the way guys would in a bar or whatever. And I don't agree with them. You know, I disagree with them in a lot of ways. There's certain elements of, the topic at large, whatever. I'm not as disgruntled over their opinion as a lot of people are, but I get why this is such a polarizing topic.
I'll say this on behalf of Clint. He did revise that, and he said that I probably would have worded that differently. They don't laugh. He said maybe eye roll is what he said.
Yeah.
That brought a lot of people out of the woodwork who are in the locker room or at least in there as media members saying, no, man, everybody rolls with CJ. They love CJ. It's possible to love somebody and roll your eyes at them. I would point that out. You know, like it's
been married much?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Crap, Amy's probably listening. Why now you're pulling me in front of a bus, all right?
Eye roll. Hey, you got to remember too, these kids these days, an eye roll is as much of a that's a scathing accusation.
Yeah.
You don't put an eye roll out on social media casually.
Yep.
It means something, damn it.
Michael Shapiro goes on to have three of opinion on the opinion of Ron and Clint. I'll try to skim and give the highlights here. Sterner and Hughley's comments Monday were obviously insensitive. Stroud, like any player, is allowed to share his emotions, especially in a time of heightened emotion and even crisis. But even if you dismiss that logic as some sort of bleeding heart nonsense, Hughley and Sterner still miss a crucial point. Stroud openly wept on the sideline in Kansas City last December as Tank Dell lay motionless on the ground after a catastrophic knee injury. He then gathered himself, took the field, and led the Texans on a 14-play drive that resulted in a field goal two drives later. The point is that CJ gathered himself and was able to perform at the level he'd been performing in that game.
They didn't put him on the emotional IR at that point.
No. CJ didn't have a good record. The score was 17-16 when that happened, and I think they lost 27-19.
CJ made some mistakes on that drive.
Yeah.
That was I think that's more the question is that people would have is like, all right, did it affect him at all to the point where it affected his decision making afterwards?
Yeah. Yep. Stroud, like many athletes, is able to compartmentalize, managing a swirl of emotions one moment before delivering on the gridiron on the next. By all accounts, he's a beloved teammate, a religious, relatable individual who connects with players across Houston's offense and defense. Perhaps this is a bit naive, but I see no reason why Stroud can't shed a tear, then spin a spiral, keeping the trust and support of his franchise in the process.
No, and I think that's kind of where we are, or where I am, at least when, you know, we talk about anybody showing emotion in any position. Can you compartmentalize afterwards?
Yeah.
And I think by far I'm more worried about football coaches who lose their temper and then seem to be idiots afterwards. I think that's a much greater problem in sports than a quarterback getting a little bit upset about his a teammate getting injured with a really bad injury. So for either of those guys, I used to say this about Tom Coughlin back in the day before he kind of became kind old grandfatherly Tom Coughlin. I'd be in games, and Coughlin is flipping out of control, and you're like, man, you guys gotta get a play in. What's going on? You gotta control your emotions. And I think it's just too easy. Sometimes people that want to be hard asses, they completely ignore controlling your emotions when it comes to anger or rage or anything else like that. Myself included back in the day. I'm not saying I'm good at it now, but I'm aware of it at least.
Yeah, yeah.
But like on showing sadness or showing being upset or anything, it's all in the same bucket. It's like you're going to have emotions in the heat of the moment. But then, just are you able to dial it back in? And so I don't care whether – and with CJ in practice, as you pointed out, it wasn't the same as the Tank Dell situation for multiple reasons. Because of the environment, because it's a practice. And also, him taking a knee to pray, most likely, as CJ is wont to do – It's not like he took a knee because he got the vapors, you know, I've been overcome with emotions. I cannot stand. It was like, no, he's taking a knee to pray.
That's right. That's right. Will this text?
If Clint and Ron have any guts, if they have any real guts about him, what they're going to do today is question whether CJ should be praying so much during a football
practice. That would be something. That would be something. Let's have a conversation about church and state, all right?
Why are you so concerned with having God do it for you instead of you doing it yourself?
That would cut through. It's text message. Well, there goes y'all's Peabody Award. Sir or ma'am, it is a Marconi Award.
Peabody Award.
There goes y'all's Nobel Peace Prize.
Is the Peabody Award, is that for journalism?
I don't know what that is. I'm not sure.
I think that's for journalism. That was the one that Pablo Torres kept citing.
Hey.
Nick Wright kind of made fun of him for – he kept – Pablo Torre, apparently, when he went head-to-head with Bill Simmons to defend himself, made multiple references to him being a Peabody Award-winning journalist.
Sorry. If I haven't been nominated for it, I don't know what it is, all right?
It's not going to be for anything journalism. That's for damn sure.
No, God, no.
Don't get it twisted, kids.
No.
We ain't no journalists. We ain't no journos.
There goes – that is some nice low-key, like, patting somebody on the head. There goes y'all's Peabody Award. It's a Marconi. And we're one of five stations in the country to be nominated for it. AI told me this week, and there's 582 sports radio stations in the country, and we are, at least this year, one of the five best, according to the Marconi people.
When I first started in radio, John McClain used to love to come on, and like just every single time he'd make this joke about, like, Ted's won four. How many Super Bowls?
Three Super Bowls.
How many have you won again, Seth? And it was kind
of
funny the first time, but then it became almost like a staple.
Yeah.
So I nipped it at the bud and said, like, you using those Pulitzers as bookends at your house there, John? We really want to start playing this game?
That's bad. I would have just been like, oh, same number of Pulitzers as you won, but I like the bookends thing.
Better visual.
It's a better visual. That's good. Keep texting in, 713-572-4610. One more on this topic, and then we'll move along. Can't wait for the post-game interview when Sean and Clint have CJ on the show. We've only gotten CJ on the post-game show once, and it was when they played New England last year. It was over the phone. It was a road game. Yeah.
You know what? I think that actually, honestly, that would be a good – it would be an interesting conversation between those two. Not in an interview setting, but more of a conversation. I think Clint and CJ should sit down and maybe have – I think CJ would – like, obviously, this is – hopefully CJ has zero thoughts about this, really, ultimately. But it would be an interesting conversation.
It would definitely be an interesting conversation. Yeah. So congrats to Ron, Clint, and I guess myself – tangentially involved in the story, we cut through. We got on the Chronicle. Thank you,
Mike. As all the 21-year-olds open up their paper newspapers at the coffee shop this morning,
damn right.
They'll go down and they'll turn to page wherever it is and read about it.
Page 6, because that's where all the salacious stuff is in the New York rags. Page 6, baby. Yeah. Back. We're on the back cover, you know, of the New York Post.
I had a curious question on my YouTube live stream the other day. Where somebody just said, Seth, why CJ doesn't seem like he's taking ownership of the changes with the offense. And I honestly, I didn't get angry because I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And so I asked him, like, please explain. And he said something like, well, you know, you don't see him or talking about working with the receivers and forming a relationship. He just keeps talking about watching film. And I actually sat and pondered it for like 10 minutes because I don't even know how to reply to this, so I didn't. Yeah. I don't know what he was talking about. It's generally considered a good thing when quarterbacks talk about watching film to try to learn the offense. I have zero concerns about CJ and really 100% fully committing to learning this offense and being good in it. He's kind of wired that way.
This is one of those annoying people that looks at something being talked about and is and assumes that's the only thing that person is doing.
Right. If a person talks about doing one thing, then they can't possibly be doing anything else.
They're not doing anything else. Just that one thing. Yeah. Like, no, that's That's what the don't. I'm mad at you for spending 10 minutes thinking about that. How do you like them apples?
I try really hard, you know.
Yeah.
And generally on my YouTube channel, it's fun because it's not as it's a more positive environment than sometimes sports media can be.
Yeah.
So most of the comments are pretty cool, except for after games, because then the opposing fans are always coming in and insulting me. But I try, if somebody says something that I vehemently disagree with, I try to really just sit and think about it, because a lot of times you're actually, they're exposing something, a flaw in your logic or something.
Yeah.
So I tried to sit and see if I had any flaws in my logic. And no, as it is 99.9% of the time, it was flawless logic.
Flawless, yes. Yeah, flawless. All right, shifting gears to back to actual football. Seth, we're both very encouraged by Ariante Ursary's performance on Saturday, I would say. That's accurate, right?
Oh, you liked what you saw?
Yeah, yep. Very encouraged by it.
Yeah, very encouraged. A grain of salt. He's going against a rookie the whole time.
10 plays.
But whatever. Yeah. But he looked good. Yeah, he's done some. Look, he's had rough snaps versus Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson in practice.
He's a rookie.
And there's a lot of all-pro offensive tackles that have had rough. Penei Sewell had a really rough snap versus Danielle Hunter last year. And he's one of the best offensive tackles in the league.
Yep.
So his good reps versus those guys have looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown a lot of promise as a guy that might really develop into something good.
Here is Brian Baldinger. He did about a one-minute Baldy breakdown. Brian Baldinger, former offensive lineman, does great work on the NFL Network. And if you follow him on Twitter, just search him on there. He does some old school, just him filming his computer screen, all 22.
And him just gushing over usually gushing over a player, getting excited about
him. It's hard to find a negative Baldy breakdown.
Talk about that kind of carving out a niche on the more positive side of things. He goes viral just gushing about players.
Here's him gushing about Ariante Ursary's performance against the Vikings.
Let's drop in on the former Minnesota Golden Gopher back in Minnesota, Ariante Ursary. First play of his NFL career right here. He takes the end on an inside slant, and he washes him all the way into Lake Minnetonka. And there goes Ogunbowale. Like, you watch him now. Like, they constantly ran right behind him. The cutback lanes were huge. Like, don't allow any penetration. Take him wherever he wants to go. Let the back decide where to go. Pick up 7 yards. Nice. Now, here he is against Dallas Turner. Remember Dallas Turner out of Alabama? Here we go. Watch his length. He's got tremendous length. He knows how to use his hands, too, and his arms. Like, just keep running him right around the arc. Let Davis Mills make the hit and the throw. All right, now, you watch this right here. Turner wants to come inside. Let him go inside. Just don't allow penetration. Use those arms. Wash him up. All right, the back will decide where to go. Good job right there. Like, I thought Ariante Ursary, they only played 10 snaps. Only played 10, but I thought he played well in those 10 snaps. Looked comfortable at left tackle. Like he was for the Gophers.
Yeah.
I think Ursary, there was a lot that was good and a lot. And, you know, there were some things he needs to clean up with his footwork and everything, but nothing alarming or something that a lot of veteran offensive tackles aren't that good at either. He does look like a guy that really cares about getting the technique right. Danielle Hunter, last week when I talked to him, called him a technique guy. So it's nice when a 6'6", 335-pound guy is a technique guy, because a lot of times those guys have just kind of been bullies in college and haven't had to work a lot at it. The thing about Kaylee's scheme that I like so far is that in focusing on, like, just from watching practice and in that first 10-play series, they want to be a gap scheme blocking, without getting overly technical about it. Just a lot of double teams, just pushing the defensive tackle up into the lap of the linebacker. It simplifies things in a lot of way and becomes just more about brute physical force than a lot of the things that go on in an outside zone-based scheme.
Mm-hmm.
I like that in that the guys at the line of scrimmage were getting really good push and playing very, very physically. The part to improve on from the offensive line is when they work up to the second level, the linebackers, the box safeties, it wasn't as clean. You know, Jakob Johnson, the fullback, did some good things, but also kind of fell off some blocks or didn't necessarily always have the right angles. So they still have some work to do, but the sum total of it is that they have the potential to be a much more physically imposing offensive line this year. And that's all without, if Joe Mixon were running in that situation, the way that offensive line was blocking, a couple of those Ogunbowale plays very easily could have been 30-yard runs by Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
Like, it was that clear of a path. And just Mixon's just, you know, obviously a much better back than Agumba Wale. But it was a very, very promising start.
I'm as intrigued as you can be for a week two preseason game from this standpoint on Saturday, Seth, against the Panthers, is to see who the first offensive line is that comes out there. Only because Cam Robinson is still injured and not practicing. Tytus Howard was kind of sitting out yesterday. He was in uniform and had his helmet and was doing drills, but there was a big chunk of practice where Blake Fisher was getting the reps with the ones, and maybe they just wanted to get a look at Fisher with the ones. He hadn't blocked for C.J. Stroud during a drill that I could remember throughout all of camp so far. Ed Ingram was running with the ones at times at left guard yesterday instead of Laken Tomlinson. Ursary's first performance. And the centers, I think, are still – I think there's still a competition. I think Jake Andrews is leading it, but I think there's still a competition at center. This thing – Caserio had told you and I – or speculated, at least, with you and I, like, yeah, you know, we think that the it'll start to take shape around the Minnesota game, either before or slightly after. I don't think it's taken shape yet. I think we know Ursary and Tytus Howard are going to start, and that's about it right now.
I think the two big X factors into how everything shakes out are Ed Ingram at right guard and whether they feel good about him, feel genuinely good about him. Remember, he was a starter in Minnesota last year, ended up getting benched for Brandon Scherff there at some point in the season. But he's been a starter in the league before. And at one point, they were high on him in Minnesota. So if they like him at right guard, then the question is, hey, if Ursary continues to play well over these next couple weeks, especially in the combined practice versus the Panthers, where he's going to get a lot of opportunity to go against starting defensive ends, do we like him better than Cam Robinson at left tackle?
Yep.
Because then all right, it becomes kind of simple. If you like Ed Ingram and if you like Ariante Ursary better than Cam Robinson, then it's Ursary at left tackle, it's Ed Ingram at right guard, and you got Tytus at right tackle.
Yeah.
This is the one thing that I hate even thinking about, but it could be a thing because I'm kind of hinting at drama that may or may not exist. Cam Robinson signed a one-year prove-it deal. Cam Robinson got traded away from Jacksonville, where it was kind of it felt like a situation where the Jaguars wanted their draft pick, their second rounder, to be the starter. Cam Robinson didn't want to stick around and be a backup, so he gets traded for not much at all to Minnesota. Didn't play great when he was there. Then he signs a one-year prove-it deal to come to Houston. And is there potential drama or disgruntlement or whatever if starting from day one he's a backup? And then how does Nick handle all of that? Hopefully we never see any kind of drama or anything like that. But I don't want to say that politics or whatever or promises made might factor into it, but it might be a little bit more complicated than it looks on paper.
Yeah, they're paying him $12 million. You know, that's not chump change, you know, so we'll see what happens.
And I know it's easy to say like, oh no, he's gonna do what you tell him to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially if it comes to like, hey, If the discussion when they signed him was, hey, you're gonna get a chance to show a better version of yourself. I know you probably thought that you could have made more money elsewhere. You should have made more money. Is there any kind of an obligation there to at least give him a shot in week one to be the starting left tackle?
Yeah. The injury complicates things from that standpoint for the Texans. From the Texans side of things, you know, it's like, hey.
That's how I'd welch on that.
Yeah. So
I'd be like, that was before you got injured, bro.
You got injured, man. We got to get some cohesiveness on the offensive line. You were out. All right, Seth, you know this is important to me and probably to C.J. Stroud a little bit and to many Texan fans. C.J. Stroud popped up in the NFL Top 100 2 days ago, 39th overall, fell 19 big spots. He was 20th last year. Again, this is the voting that's done by the players. About 1,000 players vote. They rank their top 20 players, and then the votes all get tabulated, and it spits out a top 100. Will Anderson Jr., so far three Texans. Joe Mixon, 58th. Will Anderson, 46th. C.J. Stroud comes in at 39th. Here is the narrator, and the coach's voice you're going to hear. Did you?
No. That's what I was going to say when you were done with this, before I play the audio.
Yeah.
This is what I like about the – I don't care about the rankings themselves. I like hearing the quotes from opponents and opposing coaches about the players.
Yep, so here's the first one. This is the narrator telling us all that C.J. Stroud made the top 100. The coach's voice that you're going to hear towards the end of this is Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, expressing some frustration on the bench to his defense – over just how talented the opposing quarterback is.
In his 2 years in the league, Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud has now appeared twice on the NFL Top 100. He's captured two division titles, won two playoff games, and earned a reputation among opposing defenses.
Deep drop, rolls out, Stroud on the run, it's caught, touchdown! The improvisation of C.J. Stroud delivers to give Houston the lead.
Hey, listen, great job. This guy can throw it. But you know what I mean? Like, he's back there along the water. The guy's in a deep, 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 deep. When he chucks that off his back foot, like, forever.
Okay, so you can kind of hear Spagnuolo. The audio is not great because he's on an NFL bench yelling at his defensive players, but he's kind of saying to his guys, like, hey, look, this guy can throw it. He threw that one to Schultz off his back foot. So that was kind of cool to see.
And Spagnuolo, it's kind of cool, but at the same time, it's easy for Spagnuolo to say nice things because in the fourth quarter, he did what the Chiefs defense does, just
right.
Dial up a boatload of blitzes and turn everybody into mush.
He's laughing at CJ in the fourth quarter. They didn't show that part.
Hey, listen, CJ, just so you know, I respect what you do, but good luck with this.
That's right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Here are some of CJ's teammates on CJ Stroud. Here's Will Anderson Jr.
Here we go, baby. Let's go. Let's get it, man. Don't put it on tape. Let's go. that's a guy that's a leader. That's a guy that when he walks in the room, everybody's like, that's Cap right there.
Put in the work. Be confident. Let's go.
He didn't come in this year and play like a second-year guy. He's coming in playing like a vet who's been in this league for a long time. And I think teams fear him for that. They know he can sling the ball.
Look at that throw. Right on the money.
They know he can make the dynamic plays with his legs.
CJ with the arm and with the legs, getting the Texans in range.
I feel like he has some of the craziest plays, like he's going to be sacked. And he's going down.
Oh, the ball is free. Scooped up by Stroud.
He just throws it. Completion.
Throws complete on a busted play.
That was a Xavier Hutchinson play. Yeah. With Ian Eagle's voice, or might have been Noah Eagle's voice on that one. I can't remember who. That was the play in the playoff game where the Texans couldn't get anything going offensively. It took C.J. Stroud basically botching a snap, chasing the ball into the end zone, then heaving it downfield to Xavier Hutchinson to get the offense moving.
And, at that moment and for the rest of the game, it felt like C.J. just kind of flipped a switch and realized, okay, I'm just going to go play football. And that's the hardest thing to do as a quarterback or any athlete, but especially anyone where you have to think a lot, is finding that balance between analyzing everything and then also just playing ball. And CJ hinted at something similar in the post game after that, sometimes you overly complicate things and you just got to remember you're just going out and playing football.
Yep.
And his ability to scramble, his ability to run, we saw that late in the season in the playoffs. I think this year where he's put on a little bit of muscle, and he's a bigger guy than you think when you watch him on television. He's a big guy, but he does look thicker in a good way. I don't think about breaking tackles and everything as much when it comes to CJ because he is still a pure pocket thrower. It's his ability to keep a solid and stable platform when the pocket is crumbling or when somebody does have contact on him. I think he's done a good job of that for a young quarterback, but I think it might be even better this year because when he has a good platform, he's incredibly accurate. It's just sometimes you get knocked off your platform. Yep. I think that's one of the things that Jalen Hurts doesn't get enough credit for. It's that, he's strong and he breaks a lot of tackles because of that. But him and Lamar Jackson is like this too. They're so strong when they do decide to plant their feet, but somebody's hitting them or somebody's got a hold of their jersey or something or a hold of their legs, that they can still throw it as if there's nobody around him at all. I think that might be one of the biggest dividends for CJ, given how good he is as a pocket passer.
Yep, agreed. Here's the last one. This is Joe Mixon and Nico Collins talking about CJ Stroud, who finished 39th in the NFL's top 100.
CJ just got that it factor to him. I mean, I think that he does all the little things right.
When we score right here, it'll be huge. When we score right here, it's going to be huge. Here we go, baby. Put a drive together. Watch
it. He does everything with that mentality. Like, man, whatever it takes to get the job done, that's what I'm going to do.
It's the best quarterback in my eyes. Watch it out. He's calm and collected. His mindset to lead the team, man, is amazing to see.
Nico, touchdown! Let's go, man! Let's go!
For life for me, I go CJ, number one.
Oh, see? Now I want to see Nico's ballot to see if he actually did that. His handwritten ballot.
If it came out that he had him number three or something.
Fraud. Yeah. Nico Collins, fraud.
Are they allowed to vote for their own teammates?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I don't know.
There's no way they can't allow them to vote for their own teammates.
Probably not. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
It would be such a mess.
Yeah.
They should also extend that onto college teammates. You can't vote for a college teammate.
Oh, yeah.
How many guys who are fringe players in the NFL have been put on this by one of their college buddies? They end up receiving a vote or something. The first quote there by CJ, when he said, if we score here, it's going to be huge. I don't know what situation that was in, but obviously it was a big situation where scoring would have been big. This is why Magic Johnson's Twitter doesn't bother me as much as it does many people. Because it's
stating the obvious.
Because I think Magic Johnson is, when he's watching a game, he's kind of thinking about it as he might be, this is what I'd be saying in the huddle. This is what I'd be saying on the sideline, which is true. So, CJ saying that in the moment, it makes perfect sense. Hey, guys, all right, we score here. This is huge.
What you do.
All right, good, good. If CJ had been watching the game had been and had tweeted that, he would have been roasted. So Magic, Sean, I want you to do this. The next time Magic Johnson says something like something like, if they score four more points in this situation, they'll score, they'll have 100 points on the game. Just think about it. Like Magic is actually in the moment and he's talking to his teammates.
I think it's a fair thing to point out. The thing is, what about the times Magic Johnson is tweeting the obvious about things that aren't in-game heat-of-the-moment situations?
It's the same thing. Like, it's like a pep talk in a meeting.
He's looking at the standings and is like, if the Lakers win and the Thunder lose, the Lakers move into second place tonight.
That's where, yes, because that's him, that's like him playing cards on the plane. He's kind of telling guys like, hey, you know, we're a half game back in the standings, guys. All we have to do is win the next game.
Yeah.
And if the Thunder lose, we're there.
Yeah.
And so if you just imagine, the next time you read to Magic Johnson's Twitter, just imagine you're a teammate of Magic Johnson's.
Okay.
And that,
I will do like, that. You know what? I will do that. I will do
we
for you.
We can do that exercise in the 9 o'clock hour.
Let's go find some tweets of Magic Johnson's.
Put my theory to the test. Is Magic Johnson's Twitter much, much different if you just consume it as if he's talking
Magic
to you as a teammate?
Johnson X. I'm putting it down on the list of my list of things I have next to me to look up.
And I say all that to say, yes, is CJ Stroud the next Magic Johnson in every way?
In every way.
Is he going to be a Hall of Famer with an incredible business career afterwards? Yeah, yes, obviously.
Not every way, okay?
Will he have a failed talk show? Most likely.
Yeah, but it
doesn't really matter because he's a billionaire.
Does he become a billionaire? Yeah, like almost the most, like it's in some ways the most illogical billionaire ever based on his Twitter timeline. Like, this guy is a business genius. Yeah.
I'm not touching this one with a stick. Okay.
What?
Why are you making it all political, Sean?
It's Twitter timeline. He's not political. I know that. Hey, we got to pour one out. I didn't even know this was still a thing. It was announced this week that AOL is discontinuing its dial-up service. Did you see this?
No!
Yeah!
No!
Remember back in 1995, Seth, where you would log onto your gigantic computer and open up AOL, and it would sound like this? It would connect. It was really annoying. But then it would stop. Then it would see connect. Turn it down, Ben. There's people driving off the road.
That was the sound of connecting to people who, in the infancy of the internet, the women you were talking
to, man.
You thought were actual women.
Yes. This is, kids, this is where catfishing and predators all began back in the day.
My fellow teenager that I was communicating with via the internet was, in my mind, was definitely another
teenager.
Sure.
So that horrible sound would end, and then you'd be greeted with any number of sounds like this.
Welcome. You've got mail.
Yeah. You walk into the chat room. Yeah. Remember these?
I know.
You've
honestly,
got pictures.
Sean,
you've got pictures. Oh, that was always fun. You've
file's
got pictures.
Done.
Filed.
I'm goodbye.
Filed.
Goodbye. Yeah, goodbye.
I don't, honestly, I missed out on a lot of that because I didn't have my, I was never a teenager with the internet. I got my first email address spring semester of my senior year in college. And I kind of, the only thing I really knew of the internet was from, you know, trying to download various pictures at some of my friends' places. And
sure,
that was a line-by-line scenario.
Yes.
But that was, I think we were on the college. No, it was probably dial-up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I never knew. Yeah. So they still had dial-up, which I'm guessing for people in rural areas was still a big thing.
Yeah.
They probably kept that going for people in rural areas because there are still places where it's tough to get internet.
I'm guessing literally the people that use it are dying off, maybe. I don't know, that still use the dial-up. According to census data in 2023, there were still 163,000 households that were using dial-up to access the internet.
No, they don't have broadband in a lot of rural areas still.
Yeah.
So that's in the satellite internet. I mean, it's expensive if you want to get a dish and everything. So those 163,000 households, I'm guessing a lot of them are, out in South Dakota or wherever.
Yeah.
But now the satellite internet has gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
It's less of a big deal.
We used that for our show the 2 days we did it from our Airbnb with satellite. It was Starlink. That was satellite internet. It was good.
And it was way better than I expected it to be.
It was really, really good. Yeah. So, and again, this isn't dial-up internet overall going away. This is just AOL saying we're not going to
do
this.
Oh, just AOL. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So there are still those people still. So there were 163,000 households using AOL's dial-up.
Right. And No. There's 163,000 households using dial-up.
In America.
AOL is discontinuing theirs.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what's happening. But I'm going back and listening. Ben, play the sound effects. It made me go back to a simpler time and place.
Welcome.
30 years ago where I'm...
You've got mail.
I could log on and chat with my WWF friends who I never met in person, you know? That's good, Ben. I got all the sounds I needed. Logging on and hearing you've got mail was always an exciting...
You've got pictures.
Yeah.
The thing that sucked the most was that other people would have to... You'd have to get off the internet because people had to use the telephone.
Right.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Kids,
get
what
off
it was
the
like?
Internet. Yeah.
It was you had to get, hey, I have to call the pizza shop to order pizza.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, well, I know you can't do that on the computer.
Right.
So I'm going to have to get off my internet so you can call the pizza shop to make an order.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You had to.
We used to have to talk to somebody to order pizza. It was miserable. It was awful.
I'm halfway through this picture, Mom. Picture of what? Barry Sanders. Yeah.
Line by line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, kids. It's we had to work for it back in the day, all right, on the internet?
I miss not having internet, man. Yeah. I know. When we were in West Virginia, when we had that little mishap that night where I got lost on the way home.
Yeah.
And it turned into a whole big deal because you almost forget all of the whole way you operate when you're supposed to meet somebody at a certain spot. Yeah. That back in the day, you'd be there. They weren't there.
Yeah.
And you had zero way of really knowing exactly what had happened. Yep. You might call their house, hope somebody answers. Maybe they'd have a story.
Yeah.
If you could find a payphone to call them from. But I kind of miss it because it was, you had to keep your wits about you better.
Yeah.
You had to stick to your plans and you had to establish trust that when you said you were going to be there, you were going to be there.
No.
I kind of miss the simplicity of all
that. I had
that.
To scurry back into town 7 miles so I could get a phone signal to try to call you. You know, it was, whereas back in the day, I probably would have been like, all right, well, he's not here. I'll just kind of wait it out, you know, see what happens.
And to be clear, that's because you had, despite my multiple times offering to show you how to enable Wi-Fi calling on your phone, you declined.
Hey.
So you could have made a phone call from
smart
the house.
Smart guy. I was locked out of the house and the Wi-Fi signal wasn't getting to my phone. I tried to do some things on Wi-Fi.
Wait, you were standing on the front porch and you weren't getting the Wi-Fi?
Wasn't getting good Wi-Fi there, man. Yeah, for whatever reason, I wasn't getting
because
good Wi-Fi.
Because of the single pane window? Between us and where we do our radio show?
You're acting like I'm the technician. I'm just telling you what the situation was.
You're still living in a world without the internet in a lot of ways.
Some ways.
You need to go to the Apple store and have them show you how to use your phone.
Do
one of those little classes.
I actually have that on my list of things to do, to go to the Apple store and take some video classes. All right. I interviewed Jalen Knoll yesterday. You want to hear my interview with Jalen Knoll, rookie wide receiver?
I do.
We hear about how things are going with him in the new offense. How are things going with his Iowa State teammates that are here? And seeking the perfect steak. He is trying to become a master griller. So we will hear from Jalen Knoll, future master griller, coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. I was out of practice yesterday. Afterwards, I had a chance to chat one-on-one for a few minutes with Texans rookie wide receiver Jalen Knoll, who's at a good camp. Both the rookie wide receivers from Iowa State have had good training camps. They both look like guys who are going to factor in this year for the Houston Texans. Here's my conversation yesterday with Jalen Knoll. Hey, it's Sean Pendergast out here at Texans practice with Texans wide receiver Jalen Knoll. Jalen, you got your first catch as a pro in that game against the Vikings on that little screen to the outside. You broke a tackle. How did it feel to finally get that first catch under your belt?
It felt great. Obviously a dream come true to be able to get your first catch in the NFL. But it was really exciting moment.
How are things going so far at camp for you?
I feel like it's going good. Stacking days, just trying to be consistent and just continue to work within the offense, becoming a reliable guy for the quarterbacks.
So let's talk about the installation of this offense. It's new to you because this is your rookie year in the NFL, but it's new to a lot of guys because it's a new system. I'm curious, you play a lot of slot receiver. Cecil Shorts is a former slot receiver for the Texans. We used to do the post game together. One of the things he told me is the second hardest position to play on offense, aside from quarterback, is slot receiver because of how much you've got to look at pre-snap. How has that gone for you, and do you feel like that's an accurate assessment of that position?
Yeah. I feel like it's a position that your IQ has to be there. You have to know the shell of the defense, knowing what everything that's going on from the linebacker position to the corner position. So, I would agree. And I feel like I've done well so far within that position. Just that's also what I did in college, playing a lot of slot. Played some outside too, but just being able to be savvy within the zones and understanding what looks I'm getting in the defense.
I remember watching the draft, the day you got drafted, and the scene from inside your house there. And obviously getting drafted to a team where your college team, a couple college teammates actually. Can you take us through that moment? What was going through your head when you got that phone call?
Yeah, a lot of emotions. Just the realization of all the hard work that I put in to be able to get to that point in time and just to be surrounded by family. Provoked a lot of emotions out of me, but it was a very special moment, a moment I'll never forget. And like you said, to be able to join two of my teammates, it's an honor.
So what's the dynamic with all that? I mean, you and Jaden appear inseparable out here. You know, we were doing our radio show out here the first week of camp, and we're out here early. You guys are always coming over the bridge together. What's the dynamic between the three of you, though, when you add X into the situation? Is he like a big brother to you guys, or how's that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's kind of been through everything, being in the league, going into year three now, so he kind of just gives us the heads up on certain things, knowing what to do. And but there's a big connection there. We're all Iowa State guys, so being able to talk about Iowa State and the memories we had together.
What is it about Iowa State? Because we have Nick Caserio on our show pretty frequently, and right after the draft we had him on, and he
he could not stop talking about Matt Campbell and the program that he has there. I think there's certain coaches he has a really high level of respect for. Take us through what is it about that Iowa State program? You guys had a lot of success while you were there. What is it about that program that you feel has gotten you prepared for this moment?
Yeah, just like you said, preparation is the biggest thing, and they teach us that from the very beginning. Just to learn our process, go back to the fundamentals and stick to those fundamentals and just trust in the process, honestly. And Coach Campbell's big thing is if you can find your process and you can keep that process going and build off of it, then you just become a better player. And then they're one of the big things that we went through in the past year is just curiosity, mm-hmm. being curious what we can learn more out of the game and just add to our game.
Have you been taking the process you had at Iowa State and just transforming it over here? Have you added anything to it that, you know, now that it's solely football that you're focused on, now you don't have to focus on studies or anything like that?
Yeah, really just picking the brains of my teammates that have been here, like Christian Kirk, Nico Collins, CJ, even on the defensive side, Z's and Sting, just seeing how those guys work and what their process is and just trying to add little things to mine, because those are all the guys that have been doing it right while they've been in the NFL. So whatever I can pick up from them and add to my process, I'm going to do that.
What's it like playing with CJ Stroud?
It's amazing. He's a very big communicator, so you know exactly what he wants from you, and then he's going to pick guys up. If you make a bad play, he's going to be the first guy there, making sure you're good, and just talk to you through the play and what he feels like you can do better. So he's a big motivator within our offense and a big connector.
I saw your appearance on the St. Brown podcast, and we played some audio from it. You immediately became a hit with Texan fans when we played it. But one of the things you talked about was you got your signing bonus, and they were asking you, what have you splurged on or anything like that? You're still like, I'm driving my same car. I'm renting. I'm not buying all. Have you done anything yet now? Have you splurged, or is it still just, kind of business as usual?
Yeah, just business as usual. Okay. I'm focused on the season so far, so just making sure I'm staying in the playbook and focusing on
that. Okay. Yeah. Now, the other thing I was told, too, obviously I know you and Jaden are big fishermen. You guys had your YouTube channel, but I was also told by somebody that you are a master griller as well. Is that true?
Yeah. No, I'm
in search of the perfect steak, right?
Yes, in search of the perfect steak. I love to grill. Excuse me. Whatever I can put on the grill and just kind of try to learn new things, not just steak, honestly.
Okay, so when you go to a steakhouse, then it's not just you're just ordering off the menu to eat. You're like, it's like a chalk talk with you. You like, get the chef out here. I want to talk to him.
Yeah, I'll never ask for the chef, but I do ask the waiter or waitress all the time, like, exactly how it's being cooked and prepared. So.
Okay, so what's the perfect cut for you then?
Ribeye. I know a lot of people like filet mignon and maybe the T-bone, but I feel like you get just that perfect amount of tenderness out of a ribeye.
Ribeye's blue collar. Ribeye is Iowa State Cyclone. Right? It's blue collar, right?
Yes,
what are the sides that go with it?
Any type of potato, whether it's a baked potato, mashed potato, and you got to throw a vegetable in there, maybe asparagus, green beans, broccoli, something like that.
Just to color up the plate a little bit. Wash away some of the guilt from that meat and potatoes you're about to eat. Texans wide receiver Jalen Nolte. Jalen, it's great to have you here in Houston, man. Flash those H's up to the camera.
Yes, sir.
There we go.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, man.
Yep, thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right, good stuff. That was fun. Jalen Nolte, ribeye. That's the big ribeye. That's the cut. That was the question I was looking to get the answer.
Ribeye is probably the consensus favorite.
Yeah, I think so.
Amongst most people.
Yep.
Yeah. It's I like that he's getting into cook. He had said in that interview that you referenced on the St. Brown podcast. Mm-hmm. He sounds like he's pretty much a homebody. Him and his fiance just like hanging out at home and cooking and watching movies, which is nice.
Yeah.
Which is nice to hear.
He's a good kid.
I also think when he talks about how he's just trying to stay the course of focus, not making any big purchases or anything. I do think that for all of the hand-wringing that we did over NIL, I think that guys are coming into the league with a couple of things. One is that they've had to already learn how to manage not just football and money, but football, money, and school all at the same time.
Yep.
And how to still stay focused on football. Well, you've also got some money to spend and maybe not get too wrapped up in the money side of things. So it's not so when they get to the NFL, it's not a big shock to their system.
Yeah.
And I think they handle it better, and that they've also already dealt with a lot of the headaches that can come with money. As awesome as it is having money, there's a lot of distractions and a lot of headaches that can come with it. So I think a lot of guys get to the league and people ask him, what's your first big purchase? And he's like, listen, man, I've been making $500,000 a year, or whatever it might be. I could have made a big purchase last year.
Yep.
It was, I'm here to play football.
Yeah. What did you like from a football standpoint that you heard from him right there?
I think just understanding the assignment about being a slot receiver and how important it is to just diagnose coverages. And I think that Nick Caley, by virtue of his experience in New England and then with the Rams, who use their slot receivers really, really effectively, I think as long as they've got Christian Kirk, who is a smart slot receiver, I think they have Jalen Noel, who's a smart kid who understands that he needs to become a smart slot receiver. I think there's going to be much more in the quick game, especially. There's going to be more options for CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
I think that, look, Stephon Diggs is great, obviously. Don't get me wrong. But there's the offense itself and the structure of the offense, I think, is going to be better for giving CJ more answers to things that he sees on the other side of the ball.
Yep. Multiple texts I'm getting on my own phone from people like, I love this kid. I love that. He's easy. He's hard not to like.
He drives his Camry that he had in college, and that's what he's still driving.
Yep.
He's going to get married here at some point to his fiance who's from Dallas. Like, there's a lot to like about the maturity level of him.
In his game, man, he's at a good camp. He's probably going to be returning kicks, punts or kicks for this team, too. He's getting a lot of work at that.
The other big thing about him was, you know, during the draft process, a lot of people cited his drop rate in college as being an issue. No, but he worked at developing his hands. And he's a small guy with small hands, so he had to work at it. His first year that he got prominent playing time, he did have a lot of drops. By his final year at Iowa State, he actually had one of the better drop rates in terms of fewer drops any other drafted receiver. He really worked at his hands and made it into a strength.
All right, that was Jalen Noel. You can find the entire interview up on my social media, on my Instagram or on my Twitter account. I posted the entire thing there if you want to relive it, or use the Odyssey app and you can rewind or find the Payne and Pendergast podcast.
Good job, Sean.
Well.
You do a really good job in those one-on-ones.
Thank you.
Making it very conversational. Like very, very. It's good. It sounds like you're having a conversation.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, that's what I try to do. Get them feeling comfortable and you get good stuff out of them. Lakin Tomlinson is who I'm talking to today. I got a lot of Jamaica questions for Lakin Tomlinson.
He was in Jamaica until he was 13 years old.
Yes.
It wasn't like he was born in Jamaica, but then actually grew up. So he's,
I've got a few Jamaica questions I need to ask him. So that's my interview. So we'll play that one tomorrow when I get that one today out of Texans practice. Up next, if you're waking up disappointed that the Astros are tied for first place, I get it. But when you hear the MLB Network talking about the Astros yesterday, it'll get you excited again. I promise. We will have that for you coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.